The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. It's page 95 on the New Testament. Allow me to read the word of God. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Amen. Today is the 18th of the 24 seasonal divisions called Sanggang in Korean. The 24 seasonal divisions are a traditional method to indicate yearly seasonal changes based on the revolution of the earth and positions of the sun. It's been used in countries such as Korea and China from long ago. Sanggang is the 18th division, and each syllable of sang and gang means frost and to fall, which together means a season when frost falls. Around this time, weathers are usually clear and good, but temperature gets quite low at night, so frost begins to fall. For this reason, weather forecasts often warn us to be careful not to catch a cold due to big temperature gap between day and night. Also, this time around is prime foliage season with flowers turning into full blossom with leaves colored red and yellow. This is from the book Sanggang, written by Kwon Moon-hae, a scholar in the mid-Joseon dynasty. Bitter blow falls in the middle of the night in every part of the land, and the whole world becomes clean at once. The mountains gradually look pale, and the wild geese fly across the sky, surprised by the edge of a cloud. Leaves of falling willow wither, but the corolla shines in dew below the fence. Time flies with the wind. We feel the speed of time, whether we are young or old. Even children talk each other. Time flies indeed. The tiring hot summer already became the memory of this year and will greet cold winter season in thick and warm clothes. And we will someday unexpectedly bid farewell to this world. And our lives might be judged in front of an eternal God. Therefore, we should correct and decide our lives like we gladly do our homework every day. After healing the high fever of Simon's mother-in-law and other illnesses of many people, at daybreak, Jesus left the house he stayed the night and went into a desert place. In verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. The same verse is written in King James Version as follows. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Matthew chapter 1 verse 35, which is in relation with today's scripture, tells, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." The Lord got up early in the morning and went to a place solitary and quiet. The Gospels tell us that Jesus often was alone. In the first half of Mark chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "When he was alone, and later at night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land." In Mark chapter 6, verse 47. All these testify that Jesus was sometimes alone, although such testimonies are not frequently appear in the Gospels. The times written in the Gospels were not the only time when Jesus was alone early in the morning. He often stayed alone and had solitary time. It wasn't because he suffers social phobia, but he spared time and space to be alone. And he was alone with Father God, with prayers and meditation. He was alone, but with God. Christians are those who live alone, but together. Christians are not those who are lonely and isolated, but those who live alone, but with God. Like Jesus stayed alone, but with Father God, Christians are those who live alone, but with God in prayer, meditation, words, and in the Holy Spirit. They grow mature based on the deep and intimate relationship with God and live as sound Christians. We are those who make our identity more solid within the relationship with the Lord, who is the root of all beings and relations and the source of power, obtain spiritual satisfaction and power, humbly learn what lives are to live together with others while having deep understanding about humans. Ultimately, walk the path of themselves in the Lord. Therefore, we need to live alone, but together in prayer, meditation, words, and the Holy Spirit. However, the world does not easily allow Christians to live alone, but together. Let us look at the verse 42 again. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. A group of people came to Jesus, who went out to a solitary place early in the morning. They were not just trying. They were actively and aggressively looking for him. The meaning of a Greek word, epitezel, translated to look for in the scripture, includes try or want. That is, the group of people try to keep him from leaving them. That is why some English versions use stronger words, just as seek. And the reason that the group did this was because they saw the power of Jesus healing patients on the previous day and tried to fill their worldly desires and wants with the holy power of Jesus. The responses of the group of people to the miracle of the five loaves and fishes in John chapter 6 verse 15 shows such kind of people very well. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. It is not easier than thought for Christians to live alone but together. Moreover, we are accustomed to meaningless small talks and busy life patterns. So it is not easy to go forward alone, but together in today's reality. Also, as long as the motivation to seek God is to solve your private and secular problems or to fill our desires, you wouldn't understand the true meaning and value of living alone but together. Therefore, sometimes Christians themselves become obstacles to such Christian life of being alone but together, and sometimes Christians themselves make such meaning nothing by comparing with the visible things in the world. Unless we come out of the yoke of shallow relationship and worldly conditions, the rich secret of staying alone but together is far away. Therefore, we need prayers, meditation, words, and spiritual training in the Holy Spirit in a continued manner before we put on the faithful life of living alone but together. Through this spiritual training, like the phrase, thoughts give birth to words give birth to actions give birth to habits give birth to personality, and personality gives birth to destiny. Through the faithful life of being alone but together, our personality will gradually resemble that of Christ, our words resemble that of Christ, and our path will follow that the Lord walked along. In verse 43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I was sent. This verse tells us that God revealed the reason and purpose why he came down to the world. He didn't come to the world to heal the sick and demon-possessed, but to spread the gospel of heaven. He disclosed that he was sent to do this mission. How I Live Now, written by an American writer, Meg Rosoff, is a young adult book which depicts the life of a 15-year-old girl named Daisy, from a rebellious teenager to an adult who found her independent life going through miserable conditions of war. This novel won Guardian Award, Michael L. Prince Award, and many other awards. This quote is from the Confession of Daisy, from How I Live Now. What was the hardest during the time was not when I was in the hospital, loneliness, war, or the fact that I couldn't be with Edmund. It was that I didn't know right. And the novel ends as follows. I realized where I belong after all these years and experiencing a lot. Here, the place where Edmund is, this is how I live now. People have all different reasons to live. None of us might live for nothing. It might seem an unreasonable reason, but some live for such reason. Some might live for only worldly things, and others might live for understandable reasons. Sometimes we could say our lives are so heavy and tough that we are forced to live. That as well is because we don't understand the reason to live yet, and we want to know why we live. The reason that we live is the power to maintain our lives. Nietzsche said, "He who has a why to live can bear almost anyhow." Therefore, to know the reason to live is very important. Most of all, to live knowing the reason to live is essential, because when we live for a valuable reason, we can feel our identity and the meaning of life and live a blessed life. We are able to not miss the opportunity and eventually obtain the everlasting glory. Christians are those who realize the reason to live. They know the reason and purpose of life. That is why Christians are blessed, as testified in Deuteronomy 33:29. And the reason that we live is the kingdom of the Lord. The first announcement of God after disclosing publicly and officially that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior was the Mark chapter 1, verse 15, as follows. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Matthew testifies, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The Lord clearly reveals and proclaims the reason and purpose that it came to the world is for the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul lived in a rented house in Rome at the latter part of his life and preached the kingdom of God and everything about Jesus Christ in a bold and frank manner. This is important because this helps us to clearly realize what Paul had lived for. And what Paul had longed for and testified. The reason why we live as Christians is the kingdom of God. We live because of the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the reason of our life, the purpose, and everything. The kingdom of God is the topic and theme of our life that we can compare, exchange with, or give up on nothing. This will last as our testimony till the end of time. Then why the kingdom of God? What is the reason? It's because life is finite and the kingdom of God is everlasting. Life has the end, while the kingdom of God lasts forever. Death, that we thought is not ours, that we believed is far away, unexpectedly becomes ours. But the kingdom of invisible God is eternal. Skull. Ancient monks got spiritual training by watching skulls and the process that cores break out. They meditated on human life from the birth to death, the post-death world, and the meaning of life and eternity. This is the 10-step meditation on life from Spirit of Christianity in the Pluralist Age of Religion, written by an honorary professor, Kim Kyung-jae, at Hanshin University. Scene 1. Meditate when you are fertilized in your mother's womb. From the moment when the egg is combined with the sperm, among hundreds and millions of sperms, God organized you in your mother's womb. 10 months have passed, crouching and wriggling in the womb. Meditate those 10 months in your mother's womb. Scene 2. Meditate the day when you were born, when you were spilled to the world like water. The day when you were born, your eyes were dazzled by the sunshine, the naked red body, the blessed and happy atmosphere of your home, the day when they were full of gratitude for the gift of new life, the day when heaven pushed me down to the world. Meditate on that day. Scene 3. Meditate on your sucking milk in your mother's arms. Touch the cute and soft fingers that try to reach the cheek of your mother. Your eyes were so clear and calm that the sky was reflected there. Your voice was so clear that it never grew hoarse, even after crying all day. Scene 4. Meditate the day when I first go to school with your mother. New friends, new classroom, playground and big trees, first teacher lining up, wearing a badge and classmates. How excited you were with curiosity toward new world, interest and surprise toward the new world. Scene 5. Meditate how you were sensitive about the seasonal changes at your puberty. You became so sentimental in spring and fall. You were so sensitive about the seasons that were painted on the canvas of the Lord. The day when you first know other gender, the day when you heard someone loves you, the day when you met your first lover, so that you became the part of God's work of creation. Meditation on the joy and gratefulness of the day. Sin 6. Meditate on the day when you met Jesus and receive Him. The day when you confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. The light of the sky shed your heart. The old scales went off your eyes. The light of glory in the sky was reflected in your soul. Meditate on that day. Meditate on the days when the Bible felt so romantic, just like when the first love of your soul was sweet. Sin 7. Meditate on when you were old and tired, retired, when the sunset of life shed light on your age. Meditate the day when you are weak and lost chance of work. You are retired from the world, nature, and church community, and need to just quietly watch them. Sin 8. Your life is over. Watch yourself lying in a coffin and shrewd. Meditate on you at the funeral service, surrounded by those you love, church members, and those you hated. Sin 9. Meditate on the process that your internal organs break up into water and dust after 3 years of death. Flesh and bones became the prey to the worms of the earth, reclaimed to water and land, so that your skeleton has only skull and shin bone. Sin 10. 300 years after being buried underground, even my skeleton disappeared without trace. Tomb and gravestone were buried as well. Meditate on yourself becoming dust itself without trace. Meditate on the place of your grave with wildflowers bloom and birds singing after all the people who remembered you and your legacy disappeared. Know that the Lord will remember you forever and make you be filled with a new spirit. Meditate on the Lord who has mercy on you and who invites you to the eternity. Therefore, we should obey Jesus Christ, who came to this land, died for us, and was resurrected to give us the kingdom of God, which we lost due to our sins, so as to open the path toward the kingdom of God for us who are underqualified. We must be humble and follow God. And now, we need to leave testifying the kingdom of God till the end of our lives, just like Jesus spread the gospel until just before he died on the cross. We should spread the kingdom of God with all our strength, with all our heart, with all possible languages, with all available acts, with all our hands, with all our prayers, with all our services, with all our obedience, in the name of Jesus Christ. Although the times are troubled and worrying, the gospel of heaven was spread under the control of Romans in the dark jail, in an empty field, and in the land of Gentiles. Likewise, we should spread the eternal kingdom of light and rest, the kingdom of eternal life, the kingdom of heaven till the end, even though the world denies Lord. Most of all, as the Lord spread the gospel from heaven at the Jewish synagogues in Galilee, We should spread the gospel toward the world. Whenever we meet together, looking at one another, the light of salvation of God, the hope toward the kingdom of God, the gratitude and humility, while encouraging one another with combined power. I read a book recently. The writer was a well-known blogger by posting her articles and photos based on her own interest. She had a husband who had his successful career in a beautifully decorated house with gorgeous tableware collections, furniture, and luxury brand clothes and bags. She led a happy life. Moreover, she was happy because of her husband, whom she believed would take responsibility for her life forever. But one day, her husband was seriously sick, and he died, as she confessed. The life was not hers. The spacious and beautiful house, nice collections of tableware, luxury brand bags, husband and children, everything was not hers. She realized that. She also realized that worries and concerns are not hers in the Lord. And she repented that it was her greed and arrogance that she was proud of something that was not hers. Now is the time when the kingdom of God is treated as a religious theory, neglected and denied, which is extremely secular. This is the spiritually dark age, when people long for everlasting worldly pleasure. Pleasure controls our soul in this time. That is why the Lord is sad, wiping his tears alone. Therefore, now we have to please God as the people of God, with the citizenship of the kingdom of God. As God had encouraged us with his hands never too short, we should now answer to the waiting of God. At the very place where we stand, at the very task that we are working on, at the very moment we are living, with the very thing that we have now, we should become those who testify the kingdom of God during our life in this world. There might sometimes be something pleasant, delightful, and happy, but there are nothing to touch our souls alone, but together in prayer, meditation, words, and the Holy Spirit. There's no place that shows us the way of life till the end. The kingdom of God is the reason that we live in the Lord today, tomorrow, and forever. Let us pray. Father God, let us not miss the meaning and reality of staying alone, but together in prayer, meditation, words, and the Holy Spirit during our lifetime. Help the evidence of the gospel and the kingdom of God not to be stopped or put on hold, although the times are troubled and worrying. During our lifetime, let the everlasting kingdom of God become the reason of our life, consolation and hope to people in the rich spiritual power of being alone but together. May be the waiting of the Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.